go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go. It's a minute past the hour on this, the 15th day of July, 2015. We are live. You're live. I'm live. Well, I mean, I'm not if you're listening to the podcast, but that just presents too many complications in the sort of quantum physics. But never mind. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room where the faithful are the members of the Horn Family Commune Congregation are presently in gathering. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Kim from L.A. And good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Sparky, Lottie, and Texas Betsy. Yep. Indeed. That would be the cowbell ring that signals the start of things. Yep, this is the Horn, and I know what day it is. It's 7:15:15, and it's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. Downhill to Friday. Hump day. Oh, and by the way, if you want to help keep the Horn on the air, we are in a $300 hole this evening. Many kind thanks going out to Alex for knocking out a big chunk of that. Boss Man Wayne went to the mailbox. And thanks very kindly to our dear friend, our good buddy, Scott in Sweden. His kind contribution to our challenging week at the Horn found its way to the mailbox. So Boss Man Wayne had a pleasant visit to the mailbox today. Thank you very kindly. If you would like to help us, like I said, if you would like to help... Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. There. If you'd like to help us keep the Horn on the air, keep it going month to month. You know, I wish we had a year's reserve upon which to rely, but we never have and probably never will. Well, barring, you know, the lottery or something. Not something you want to really... It's really kind of hard to budget a lottery win, isn't it? Yes. At any rate, we need to raise $300 this evening to come even. And if you want to help do that, well, you go over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com to the tab Contribute, and there's an interface there, some stuff you fill out. You can leave the you can leave the more intrusive fields blank. I know that's off-putting. Some of those questions are off-putting. They're off-putting to me, but we had no real choice in the matter, as that is a PayPal widget. The whole goal being, of course, to get to the next screen, at which point you can make all your PayPal-y kind of decisions. If you prefer not to use PayPal, if you prefer the U.S. Postal Service, then drop me a note and let me know, so that I can alert Boss Man Wayne, and he won't have to put on his spider-proof gloves. Darn things just about got chewed off his hands earlier this week. But let me know, and, of course, checks and money orders made payable to the Horn can always go to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. And thank you one and all to everybody who participates one way or the other, because it's the only thing that keeps us going. This is truly listener-supported broadcasting. No, you know, we don't have any of that. We don't have the stuff public radio has. We don't have mentions of support from companies that make things to drop bombs on brown people in far and distant corners of the globe. And we don't have your typical terrestrial radio ads extolling the virtues of herbal hair regrowth remedies that will grow hair on the bowling ball you can drop on a Swedish mattress made of NASA-developed foam, which then can then be the bowling ball can then be picked up by an Oric vacuum cleaner, all as you lay on said Swedish foam mattress listening to your Rush Limbaugh-endorsed Bose Wave radio while you contemplate buying gold. Buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation, sucker! Right. No, it's just you. The Horn Family Commune Congregation who keeps all of this going. And thank you very kindly for that. So 10 folks at $30, 30 folks at $10, one folk at $300, two at $150, four at $75, and with numbers like that, I can't do much more ciphering and gazentaing. Sorry. But yes, it is the middle of the week. It is Wednesday, and that means, brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. It is indeed. That yes, Tim from L.A. That also encompasses 300 at $1 a piece. We've tried the $1 challenge before, and it don't work. I wish it did. I mean, I did the 75 at 4, Tim. Come on. Pay attention. But, no, the fact of the matter is, if everybody who listened to it, you'd be surprised. The people who support this program, as compared to the people who listen to this program, y'all who support it are, well, you make it possible for everybody else who listens but doesn't. Some people can't, and that's a fact. And that's what creates the beauty that is this little community. Because because we're not selling podcasts, and we're not selling subscriptions. We're not selling anything. Your contributions are exactly that. They are gifts. They're gifts that keep an operation going that is not geared toward, oh, we joke about the Gulf Stream 5 and we joke about the cabana person and Agnes's masseur, and we joke about the mansion. God knows the mansion is a joke, but that's all that is a joke. The serious and in earnest stuff are things like the telecommunications bill, the internet bill, power, light, that kind of thing. Yes, it is a Gulfstream 5 with a horse on top, Tim. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, 30,000 people could contribute a penny and we'd be in good shape this evening, too. Oh, I fear we have tapped into Tim's mathematical OCD this evening. Dear me. Yeah, it's okay. It'll be fun. But it is. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And our buddy Steve in New York has put forward a $25 challenge. He will match the first $25 that come in, and that'll mean that your 25 becomes 50. You'll double your money. Remember, these things don't happen. The challenges, they go by the boards unless someone matches them. And it's a shame to let them go blow by. So there's a challenge on the table to the tune of $25. But really, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And, you know, it's here in... And once again, I will get from the California contingent of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. Rain, what's that? Rain is what we've got all of and you've got none of. We've had just humdinger thunderstorms yesterday evening and the evening prior. And we're in a little bit of an intermission right now. We're expecting more this evening, so the usual disclaimer applies that one never knows when the antiquated late 19th, early 20th century technology, coal-fired Appalachian, overpriced Appalachian power grid will collapse. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed on that one. We expect more thunder. We get a break. Thursday and Friday, we get a break. And then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, more thunderstorms. I know, this probably feels like taunting to our California friends. It's really not. But there is such a thing as too much of a good thing, and if there was some way to get it to y'all, believe you me, you'd have it. But being as how it's been so daggum rainy, well, the kind of stuff we're used to having in the fellowship hall this time of year, the cucumber salads and whatnot that make everything so delightful in a hot and muggy summer. Well, we haven't had so much of them. No, it was a much more you could almost say autumnal fellowship hall dinner this evening. I can tell you for a fact, we had ourselves some lovely succotash, you know, green beans and corn. Yes, indeed. And it was fried chicken time. That's once, you know, one Wednesday month, it's always fried chicken in the fellowship hall. And we're not talking about that pressure fried stuff or the deep fried stuff. No. This is pan fried, turn it once. Magnificent. I mean, some kind of yummy. And there was a little bit of green salad. And over on the dessert table, well, the little old blue-haired ladies, I think they were depressed by the rain, quite frankly. All the rain, the interminable rain. And so the dessert table, they didn't go out all out like they always do, or almost always do. No, it was a little more simple this time. Just plain yellow cake with a white frosting and coconut. And coconut. Of course, even when the little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall decide to keep it simple, it winds up exquisite, and poor little youngins didn't have a chance. The deacons were on it like ducks on a June bug. Mercy sakes, and then they trundled their way upstairs to smoke with the sinner. Well, we have chased them. We've chased them out of the parking lot where they were smoking with the sinners. We've run them through the vestibule down past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints that no one touches at their peril. And we got them down front, and they're waiting. They're waiting with the offertory plates, brethren and sister. And they're going to move amongst you as we play the offertory hymn. And hopefully some folks will reach down there and touch that little PayPal button and help get us help get us well on the way for this evening so that we don't go into Thorn in the Side Thursday with an even deeper hole or, God knows, wind up the week. In an almost unfillable one on Friday on the front porch. So that's how it goes. So if we could, we will invite the Minister of Music forward for the offertory hymn, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sisters, keep one cracked open enough so that you don't get hit with that big old heavy brass offering plate with the sort of burgundy velvet in the bottom. Believe you me, I know, but I wasn't part of that decision. They're a little tacky, but they get the job done. We'll bring the Brother Minister of Music up and get us started on this evening's prayer meeting Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Present for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey notes and dozy notes and little lambs it out of here. Kettle it out of it too, wouldn't you, wouldn't you? Oh, I love you. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. It is Hout Glory Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And I'm begging you to get up out of your seat and onto your feet and come on out. Come on out of the pews and down that blood-red aisle and fall, hack and glory, upon your knees and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and hack, amen, feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server. How, amen, on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized Agnostic, Animated Animist Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday in the Cathedral of Common Sense. And brethren and sistren, oh, I have to tell you, we have many tales of glorious Christian heroics, glorious defense of the faith, as we move in to prayer meeting this evening. Amen and amen. Yes, indeed, brethren and sistren, I want you to know that even as the deacons were passing around the offering plate, I realized I had the gift of knowledge and prophecy of the Holy Spirit, brethren and sistren, and I realized we working this the wrong way. Yes, indeedy, I reference for you the Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church. Yes, indeed. Down in Florida, Stan. WFTS-TV has the story. Candace Pedersen moved to new digs down in the greater Tampa area. Mm-hmm. And she was looking for a church home, because we all need a church home. As soon as she settled in there to the greater Tampa area, she began looking for a church home. Because you don't want to be running around in a heathen place like Florida, Stan, unchurched. No, you don't. Candace Pedersen is a good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian woman who is raising children on her own. She's a single mama. And there, I reckon she had no idea, but the Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church, it doesn't welcome everybody to just come through the doors and sit there listening to the preaching and the singing for free. No.
About 6 months after moving to her new house there in the greater Tampa area, and Tampa is greater, is it not? Anywhere that the Lord is present is a greater area. About 6 months into it, after starting to go to the greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church, Candace Patterson got a bill. Amen, she did. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, and pay the hell up. She got a $1,000 bill. I don't mean somebody sent her a $1,000 bill. Those things ain't in circulation anymore. She got a bill for $1,000 from the Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church that told her that she was supposed to be a tithing $50 a month, and there was a whole bunch of other fees to go with it. And she needed to pay up if she wanted to remain a member in good standing and vote on church matters. Mm-hmm. They told her she needed to pay a yearly $250 anniversary fee. She needed to pay another $150 for Mount Moriah Day. And that some of that $1,000 would be set aside to pay off church debt. The letter come from Assistant Administrator Ladrita Spencer and Pastor B.R. Fulton, Jr., and it came with a reminder. At least it didn't come with a brick through the window. The reminder was that youngins, who of course, are always at risk of feeling the fiery tongues of hell's eternal flame a-lapping at their heels, The youngins are on the hook too. The youngins are into $15 twice a year and $5 a month. That's $90 a year to keep the youngins out of hell. According to the letter, it said, "In order to not be removed from the church roll, your attention to this matter is greatly appreciated." It did tell her that she could have a 90-day hardship exemption. Mm-hmm. And she posted the letter that she got, bless her, Glory, on the church's Facebook page. But that's where Bonnie Maxwell, who is a member in good standing and has ponied up the $1,000, said, "I love my church and my pastor. I know people have their opinions regarding the letter that was sent out to this young lady and put over social media. I don't understand why so much negativity about paying a monthly assessment of $50 a month that you already knew about. If you go to a club or a bar or whatever, you wish to call it every weekend, you're paying about $10 or maybe more to get in the door than paying again for drinks. As Christians, we are required to be obedient." Because, sure, it's right there in the Gospels. "Yea, verily, thy church shall be the same as a bar or a nightclub." That's where you get the Jim and Tammy Faye roller coaster and water slide exemption. Mm-hmm. And the bowling alley. Absolutely. The church that was never a little one, the church that I grew up in down in Alabama, it has a bowling alley now. Mm-hmm. Sure does. It surely does. So, just to review, I reckon in this particular version of Primitive Baptist Christianity, if you die owing the church, well, you might just be going to the hot place, baby. That ain't no joke in the offertory hymn we play every week. Mm-mm, no. Whoever said salvation should be free, huh? I mean, Jesus may not have any bills, but Pastor B.R. Fulton damn sure does. Yeah. You think those giant jumbotrons come in for free? You think those Marshall amps and those massive sound systems? You think those Pearl drums and the Gibsons and the Strats? and that big and that great big damn Yamaha piano, you think they just gave that to the church? Well, hell no. Man, I'm sorry. We may be in a $300 hole this evening, but I'm not going to tell you that you can't that you can't come to the chat room, or that you won't be a member in good standing if you don't hit the PayPal button. I'm in the wrong racket. I'm just no good at that racket. Sheesh. What do you reckon the power bill is over there to the parsonage? B.R. Fulton Jr.'s parsonage. Someday, just for the fun of it, look up Joel Osteen's home. It's a mansion. Yeah, in my mega church is one mansion, and you don't live in it. Joel and Mrs. Joel do. He lives in it rent-free and never pays a penny of tax. Meanwhile, a quick update on the horrors that beset America back when the five unelected black robe judges declared that the homosexuals could get married. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the Coalition of African American Pastors, remember they were the ones that gave Roy Moore his delightful little award. We had the audio a month or so back. The Coalition for African American Pastors and the Campaign for Texas Families and the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality in Dallas had themselves a press conference there at the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality. Heck, is that even the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality? Good morning, little Timmy. How's your gender feeling this morning? Perfectly healthy, ma'am. And how's your sexuality?
What's sexuality?
See how complicated it can get and how quick? Yeah, the Reverend Bill Owens, president and founder and probably the only member of the Coalition of African American Pastors, and Dr. Steve Hotze, who is the president of the Campaign for Texas Families and probably couldn't put a Band-Aid on without coming near killing somebody, and no kidding, David Pickup, that's his name, David Pickup, who is the LMFT, large mother twit, I don't know. Anyway, David Pickup is the LMFT of the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality because the only real verifiably existing God is the goddess of irony, and she worked hard on this one, folks, didn't she? Let's praise her for a minute. Oh, I'll be sacrificing a rubber chicken at midnight tonight and a whoopee cushion. David Pickup, the LMFT of the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality, and you're not going to hear about this on any other progressive radio programs. This is secret stuff. They had themselves a press conference yesterday to call upon the minions of Christianity, the millions of Christians and people of faith within all of America's businesses, professions, churches, and states' congresses to get ready. Oh, people, get ready. Mm-hmm. Call on to get ready for massive civil disobedience in regard to the Obergefell ruling from the Supreme Court that allows the homosexuals to get all married. Still trying to figure out what that's got anything to do with David Pickup, the LMFT of the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality. Pastor Pickup. Got to be a pastor, doesn't he? Anybody else want to take a take a run at what LMFT stands for? I mean, I know LSMFT means lucky strike means fine tobacco. But LMFT, I'm lost. Large man toddlers? What? But there's there's going to be massive civil disobedience. They say in their press release, we are calling on Christians and people of faith in all areas of society, especially those in leadership positions, to refuse to obey unjust laws that have legalized same-sex unions, and to join our movement that will take back our Constitution and our rights. Stephen, New York, LMFT. Duh, let me fart too. So there you have it. Or maybe not. Because I need a little help here. What kind of civil disobedience do you do in regard to a civil right that has nothing to do with you? You see where I'm going here? I mean, is the Reverend Bill Owens gonna go and do a sit-in at a Unitarian church that's performing a wedding for a couple of women or a couple of guys? I'm struggling here. I know they're all full of angst and fire and brimstone and schadenfreude and bete noirs and all of those things. But I'm darned to figure out how they're going to civilly be disobedient. Are they going to block the doors to marriage license offices so the homosexuals can't get marriage licenses? A little help, please. The Reverend Bill Owens says, it's a disgrace that five unelected judges, I told you, can overturn the votes of over 50 million Americans so that a few homosexuals can marry. Jack in Shreveport, it's LMFT, T as in toddler. Local minister for perversion? No, it won't work. It's a T. How many is in a few? Because the votes of over 50 million Americans were overturned so a few homosexuals can marry. These justices got it wrong. Here it comes. Get the hockey puck. Remember, Reverend Bill Owens is president and founder of the Coalition of African American Pastors. Let's see, News Ninja Gene, LMFT, lay minister for teens. That was freighted too, isn't it? These justices got it wrong like they did in the Dred Scott case. Oh, me. Pastor Brother Owens, are we talking about the same Dred Scott decision? Because the Dred Scott decision that I know about is a ruling written by Chief Justice Taney that held that people with the same skin color as you, sir, were not really human beings and could not be citizens of the United States of America. And even if they got to free soil, were still slaves. there is no doubt that Justice Taney got that one really wrong. It is probably the single most shamefully wrong decision ever rendered by the Supreme Court of the United States. Plessy runs a close second. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you protest this. Do they give up their own civil rights and let themselves be sold to the highest bidder on the courthouse steps? These justices got it wrong like they did in the Dred Scott case. Anybody, please, help me find any sort of a parallel, rational or otherwise, between Dred Scott and the Obergefell case. Because I'm stumped. Wow, Luda, maybe that's it. Licensed marriage family therapist? David Pickup? Who knows? Ah. These justices got it wrong like they did in the Dred Scott case. I'm kind of beat up on that. But anyway, we stand with all Americans who resist the SCOTUS ruling, and we will follow, oh dear, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s example. Well, all right. All we got to do is find it. When did Dr. King engage in civil disobedience in any wise relating to gay people? Of course, that's a little like asking, where is it in the Gospels that Jesus says anything about gay people? Because the answer to both is never, nowhere, don't exist. And we will not obey an unjust law. Well, good for you, Reverend Bill Owens. You didn't have to get gay married in the first place. Because one morning you woke up and said, I have made a choice. I, Reverend Bill Owens, will be a heterosexual. Mm-hmm. I'm hooked. Stumped. Licked. Not licked. Not as long as there's somebody named David Pickup in this story. No. They're going to help! Really! Please! They're going to resist the SCOTUS ruling. Have I completely missed something? Or are there armed vigilante bands of unmarried gay people who are pointing firearms at good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christianists and making them, you know, go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel 'cause the homo's holding a gun on me. Now, what? How do you resist the Obergefell decision? And frankly, if you're having to resist the urge to get gay married, don't you have a little bit bigger problem than the Supreme Court there, Pastor, Brother, Doctor, Reverend Bill Owens? Resist? I mean, in order to resist something, doesn't the... this is kind of immovable force I mean, irresistible force, immovable object stuff, isn't it? How can you resist something that isn't you're not being forced to do? Lord, give me the strength to resist flapping my wings and flying with the Canada geese. You don't have any wings to flap there, buddy. Still, I need the power to resist. Boop. I got nothing. It's time that we elect politicians that will honor the will of the people and not cater to special interest groups. Well, so I'm sure the next press release to come out from the Coalition of African American Pastors, the Campaign for Texas Family, and the Children's Center for Healthy Gender and Sexuality in Dallas. I don't know if the children are going to have healthy gender and sexuality anywhere but Dallas, but they're in Dallas. Yeah. I expect a press release from them any day now, rejecting calling on the people and the government to not cater to special interest groups like, say, Americans for Prosperity. Or how about the oil industry? Coal industry? Maybe? I know. Long way away. How about rejecting Citizens United? No. These are right-wing tools. They love them some Citizens United. And how about rejecting the special interest groups that are religious in nature? And what is it? Because that term, special interest groups, that means something, doesn't it? In the past, didn't that mean people with organizations, industries with lots of money that went and influenced policy and law in Washington, D.C. and in the state capitals, that ran contrary to what was good for ordinary Americans, all of them, or a majority of them, or at least a plurality. Because I'm having a hard time figuring out how a couple of guys picking out a China pattern is the special interest group. But old Reverend Bill Owens, he ain't done. I am disgusted by the liberal agenda that is trampling on the Constitution and antagonizing those of us who believe in faith, marriage, and family. You reckon a Thorazine dart would help? I mean, just take a minute and try to crawl. You don't want to spend long there. But try to crawl into the sort of maggoty brain of one of these right-wing bigots. And I mean, what is it like to get up in the morning? I don't have to get gay married today, but nonetheless, my constitutional rights are being trampled on because I know that somewhere, somehow, a couple of women, preferably really hot women, They just signed up at a department store for a double bridal registry. They're probably in the lingerie department, and they're picking lingerie out for each other. God, my constitutional rights! Gerald noting agenda. As a liberal, I would really like to be updated on our agenda. Maybe an email or something? Yeah, I mean, Telegram. Candygram for Mongo. Anything. Direct mail. But old Reverend Bill, he's disgusted by the liberal agenda, trampling on the Constitution, antagonizing those of us who believe in faith, family, and marriage, and He feels antagonized. Isn't that one of those things that you take to the Lord in prayer? Oh, dear Father, in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus, please rid me of this sense of antagonism. The homosexuals are antagonizing me, Lord, and I need you to cleanse me of the antagonizing because I know it ain't healthy. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? The Coalition of African American Pastors is calling on all Americans to push back against these anti-Christian policies. I'll be dipped. The 14th Amendment is an anti-Christian policy. Go figure. And join our Rise campaign and take back America. They're always taking back America. Back to where? The 19th century? 18th? Got to be careful how far back you take America, Reverend Bill Owens, or, well, it might not be real good for you, brother. Oh, shaka when the walls fell. Take back America and restore common sense principles and values. Yeah, because making sure that a significant segment of the population is treated as second-class citizens, that's a common sense principle and American value. Just go ask the sons of Confederate veterans. They'll tell you. Because they want to take back America, too. Only problem is, Reverend Bill Owens, they might have you do the hauling. I don't know. Maybe the overall problem with all of these religionists is that they have confused butthurt with persecution. And to read stuff like this, you'd think that they got a deed somewhere. No, nope, it's our America, not those homos. Yeah, but see, Coalition for African American Butthurt, it doesn't work as well as Coalition of African American Pastors. Damn the stupid. I'm still not real comfortable with Dr. Pickup out there. I mean, Jesus, that sounds like somebody who works the midnight shift over at the CDFM. Tim from L.A. is equally confused. So if people reject the SCOTUS ruling, with all things being equal, especially under the 14th Amendment, can we then ignore the Hobby Lobby ruling and sue Christians? Imagine suing and winning millions for the horn. Boy, I dream big. Yes, you do, Tim, but dream on. And no, I'm not queuing up any Aerosmith. No, but see, that's not how it works. The law of the land is the law of the land. You deal with it. I mean, you reckon, I'm sure Reverend Owens doesn't want to take back America past, like, say, 1967, when all the anti-miscegenation laws were still on the books, right? One hopes. Busy evening. Steve in New York asking, how about Brown versus Board of Education? Did that overturn the will of the people? Interesting you should ask, Steve. Because the same argument was made with Brown versus Board of Education. That's how you wind up with George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door in Tuscaloosa. The people of Alabama have spoken. Segregation yesterday, segregation today. Segregation forever! And, yeah, Irish Dave, absolutely. Jesus, Bob, I've heard of pay-to-play, but really? Pay-to-pray? Oh, you're just not going to the right tabernacle, brother. And, by the way, thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa, who just chipped in for 20 out of the $25 worth of challenge Steve put down. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Oh, I've been awarded a cowbell, and I will happily share the award for the butt hurt for the thank you, Gerald, for the butt hurt equals does not equal persecution. Yeah. That's a great word, butt hurt. How long has that been in the vocabulary? At least, what, 4 years? Whoever came up with that, it was perfect. I mean, it just absolutely describes to a T the behavior of these right-wing babies. Because there's nobody out there trying to persecute Christians and make them get all gay married. Oh, but what about that bakery in Oregon, you ask? Well, you don't, but rhetorically. Because that's been a big stink lately. Brothers and sisters, they've ordered a bakery in Oregon to pay $165,000 because they refused to make some homo cake. All you gotta do is look around, and you'll find those stories over in the right-wing Blogsylvania, Butthurtistan. They're persecuting those poor bakers. Because see, what actually happened was the state of Oregon, state's rights, you know, the state of Oregon has a non-discrimination law. And you're not allowed to discriminate against people for being gay in Oregon. And so these God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered bakers decided they could not possibly make a cake for a wedding for a lesbian couple. And so they filed a complaint against the bakery. Should have been the end of it. But no. The bakers, the God-fearing, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, upstanding, yeah, took the complaint and then doxed the complainants. They splattered the names, the addresses, the phone numbers, the email, the everything of the complainants all over the internet and got all kinds of butt-hurt right-wing Christians so fired up that they took to harassing the people who filed the complaint in the first place, none of which had anything to do with anything that the complainants did. This is your classic Christian behavior. This is the behavior of the followers of Christ. Now, do please remember that not all bakers are butthurt or persecuted. But these bakers in Oregon felt like they were. I know, for instance, that Ms. Barbie is not persecuted or butthurt over gay wedding cakes, and neither is her sister Carol, the Fabulous Baker Girls. So they doxed, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian bakers doxed the complainants. Which in turn caused the complainants to be routinely and regularly and for a very long time tormented by the followers of the Prince of Peace. Yeah. Which caused them considerable mental anguish, and they were also foster parents, and they were seeking to adopt their foster child or children, and their children were almost taken away from them because the Oregon Department of Child Services, or whatever it's called, said, listen, if you people can't make these Christians stop persecuting you, then that's not a good thing for the children, and we're going to take them out of the home. Now, by the time this thing got to the appropriate administrative agency, commission, whatever, in Oregon, it was an established record. And it was for the torment. And it was for the persecution. The real kind, not the imagined butthurt Christian kind. The real kind that the Christians had dealt out to this couple. That was the basis of the Oregon Commission levying $165,000 against the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered bakers, who it turns out are nothing but thugs. Yeah, Gerald, you're absolutely right. Remember Tiller the Killer? Remember Bill O'Reilly? Yeah. Well, it's the same thing without the doxing. It was vicious what those Christians did to that couple. And I suppose no one is surprised. Because, well, Christianity. But if you hear pastor, brother, governor, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman Mike Huckabee talk about it, it's clear that the bakers in Oregon are being persecuted for their family values and their determination to support traditional godly marriage as the Lord intended. Do we see here the difference between persecution and butt hurt? I certainly hope we have. And sweet Jesus, but we got more. By the way, note coming from Marty. Marty says, I've heard too many black Christians say they'd rather die a slave than allow the gays. My reply, dying's the easy part. Would you, they of course, be willing to live as a slave rather than allow the gay? Yeah, see, those are the kind of questions that make their heads explode like as if they were aliens from Mars and Slim Whitman was singing to them. Well, as they say there in the more highfalutin churches, here endeth the lesson, or at least here pauseth the lesson. Unlike other congregations, you are, unlike, say, a Joel Osteen tent meeting, nobody's going to come and point a gun at you if you ask a question or raise your hand or talk back or anything. So you are welcome to call into the program. 304-574-8178 is one of the numbers. The other number is the stress line, and it's 304-663-4676. 304-663-4676. Jump right in either way. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And it all works just dandy. And by the way, when we come back, if there's nobody on the line, let's talk. Well, do you have a burial plan? Have you made plans so that your loved ones will not be burdened by your passing? When we get back. So, we are $40 into the $300 we need to raise this evening. Thank you very kindly to Steve and to Brother Deacon Asa. That means we've got, I can do that kind of ciphering. We got 260 to go. All help is good help, big, little, just any. Let's not go into Thursday like this. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. God, I love this sax. I said sax.
This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. Used to think that it was so easy. Used to say that it was so easy. But you're trying.
'70s, wasn't it? Jerry Rafferty, Baker Street. Like I said, I love that sax, but that's a hell of a lyric, too. Anyway, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, 4 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. A little less than 2 hours remaining in the program this Prayer Meeting Wednesday. No, I mentioned all that about burial plans and whatnot. Beth, our good friend Beth down in Dallas, alerted me to a story earlier today, and wow, this version of the story comes from WFAA TV8 in Dallas. And it's a story of a little Texas town called Farmersville. Not Farmville, not the YouTube games or Facebook game sensation, Farmersville. Collin, looks like Collin, C-O-L-L-I-N. Collin County, Texas, a little tiny town of 3,400 people. And they've gotten them 3,400 good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians have done got themselves all riled up. City Council meeting Tuesday night, last night. The story by John Panicker at WFAA, and I would have been a panicker, too, if I'd been in that room, because from there to Lynch Mob is a pretty short trip. 100 residents of Farmersville crammed into the city council chambers there last night because they were highly upset and they wanted to take their county back. They were, since it is apparently the word of the night, butt hurt. What were they butt hurt over? Well, they've got some Muslims there in Collin County, and apparently no small number of them. Four or five Islamic associations. And I know it will come as quite a shock to the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians, but Muslims are not immortal. They die. I mean, you'd think we'd have figured that out by now, insofar as we slaughtered a million of them over in Iraq, such as after the 2003 and afterward. Mm-hmm. But some Muslims live in Collin County, Texas. And one of the Islamic associations bought a tract of land. Now, see, that's your first sign of trouble there, because everybody knows that in America, only good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, white, Christ-centered Christian people should buy any land. But they bought the land because they wanted to have a cemetery. Because, you see, the Muslims' invisible friend, and I think they share this in common, and I can be corrected if I'm willing to be correct, happy to be corrected if I'm wrong. They share this same invisible friend rule with people of the Jewish faith. You gotta hustle the dead into the ground on the double quick. I know that in Muslim law, Sharia! Oh, God! Not old, dear. Probably has something to do with Jade Helm and Agenda 21 and the Common Core. No embalming. And you get dirt-napped within 24 hours of shuffling off this here mortal coil. So it is simplest if they have their own ground consecrated and dedicated to their own invisible friend. Yeah. Well, the folks there in Farmersville, where the land is, ain't happy. Don't want a bunch of dead Muslims. Okay, thank you, Texas Betsy, telling me, yeah, both have the same idea. Get in the dirt as quick as possible. Betsy says, in practice, the Muslims bury faster. But we're not going to have any of this Christian shilly-shallying or Egyptian shilly-shallying around and embalming and mummifying and stuff. Get in the dirt, get rotten, start feeding the worms, and get back into the circle of life. During the 30-minute public comment screaming session that they had there in Farmersville, one God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian said, "It is my duty and my right to warn when there is a danger." Danger? Cemetery? Danger? I mean, are they even using the heavy concrete vaults? Big fancy caskets? I mean, somebody could, you might get a hernia. But it's always been my understanding that really the burying business is the getting in the dirt business is a fairly, I mean, there might be some weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and whatnot, but the person going in the dirt goes in fairly simple fashion. Naked came ye into the world and naked ye shall return. Although I'm pretty sure that's not their book, that's somebody else's. It is my duty and my right to warn when there is a danger. You can already see the signs, can't you? Warning! Danger! Dead Muslims ahead! Zombies! It was an SRO crowd there at the city council chambers in Farmersville. There were folks standing outside worrying about all the dead Muslims. A couple of residents, one stood up and said, "This is not the right land use." Now, if you want to put up a distillery or a whorehouse, that'd be all right. No, I'm adding that part. Oh, okay. Texas Bessie telling me Jews don't bury naked. I think you even get a shroud in if you're a Muslim, right? And now, that there's a question, and this is just an aside. This is just a sidebar to all of this. Why do you have to wear clothes if you're getting cremated? I mean, if I was going the cremation route, I'd want to make sure that my ashes were not getting mixed up with some Dacron polyester blend that was made by some Chinese slave laborer. Go figure. Another resident, and you'll notice the there's a danger part and the not the right land use part, and none of these things are followed by a prepositional phrase that begins with because. They just know it is. It's going to be a great big issue, and it's going to kill Farmersville. Welcome to Farmersville. Dead Muslims here. Keep moving. Our town's dying. 34 acres, and it runs along Highway 380. See, that's how the Muslims are, because Highway 380 is your Audie Murphy highway. Named after the most decorated American hero, military, war-fighting veteran this year country, which is the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, has ever, ever done seen. He really was. When he survived the Second World War and came back, he became a Hollywood hero, a Hollywood actor. And he starred in a movie about his own exploits. It's called To Hell and Back. Quite the determined story, the Audie Murphy story. But it's but the Muslims, they just want to bury people right next to the highway we done named in honor of our local hero. That's how they desecrate the American flag and the American heroes. Audie Murphy didn't fight like he fighted to make sure that Muslims could bury people when they needed to in America. He fought Germans like a good American would. Oh, yeah. There are 5 Islamic centers in Collin County, Texas. And see, you really do, you want your own cemetery, because if you happen to be the family of a dead Muslim and you go to one of the local cemeteries, say maybe the local Catholic affair, and they go, well, are you Catholic? Oh, no, we're Muslim. Well, what do you want to get buried here for? Or maybe you just go to one of them for-profit cemeteries and your cemetery manager, Joe Bob Bubba Shithead, says, "Oh, I'm sorry. We're all sold out of burial plots. We'd love to sell you one for your Muslim burying, but we might have one open up about 4 or 5 weeks. But I know y'all got to get him in the dirt and on the double quick, don't you? Yeah, you do. Well, I tell you what, I'd try somewhere else if I was you. We're full up." Khalil Abdur Rashid is the Islamic Association's resident scholar, and he said, "This is not an issue about religion. This is an issue about human dignity. Some thought it was a mosque going to be built. Others thought it was a training ground. We want to be very clear that this is a cemetery." Oh, sure, that's what they say. They say, just like they say, that's a training exercise. That jade helm that's done started today, and Texas is under attack. And they're messing with Texas after we done told them don't mess with Texas. of course, trying to be accommodating, the Islamic Association said, listen, we want a place to bury our dead, but you know what? If it makes you feel better, we'll come up with an application process whereby we can have interfaith burials there, too. It's okay with us. No, that ain't enough. Patricia Bosnell, she said, I've seen this highway when it was just two lanes. Well, that'll convince me, because everything changes now that it's got three or four, right? According to the report from John Panicker, and he was the man to send. Christian Bosnell said, mystery surrounds the Islamic group and its intentions. Are they gonna bury their dead with suicide bombs in them? Huh? Mystery surrounds the Islamic group and its intentions. They got questions, the Bosnells do, about the Islam. And specifically about how they buries people, and how deep, and how wide, and how permanent. And if they get all zombified when the coming of the 12th Imam, is they going to be deep enough that they can't get up out of the ground and come and eat our Christian brains? I mean, think about it. You got to bury somebody within 24 hours in the Muslim faith. Ms. Bosnell said, what do you think? What do you think they're going to do to someone who's not buried properly, huh? What the does that even mean? I'm as linguistically lost with Ms. Bosnell as I was with Brother Pastor Minister Owens. Goddess of Irony never lets up. Colon County, Texas. As Irish Dave noticed. Yeah, also a question, I mean, and it's a good one for a place like Texas. Isn't a cemetery a good place for Muslims, since everybody knows the only good Muslim is, well, you know, dead? Marty noting, obviously these dead Muslims will come out of the ground and be walking amongst the Christians as zombies. That's owl zombies. Of course, that begs the question why any self-respecting zombie would ever even want to eat a Christian brain. I don't know as there's much value in that. But courtesy of News Ninja Gene, there's an update. Not only are they unwilling to have any dead Muslims anywhere around them, this story from CBS DFW, which is the rival of the rival of WFAA. And it contains a little more detail. Noting people are in an uproar. Farmersville resident Mont Hendricks said, we used to grow onions here. We sure enough don't want to be growing bodies. Mont, buddy, dead bodies don't grow. Then there's Troy Gosnell, and he says, this ain't a moneymaker for the city of Farmersville. It doesn't conform. If they was conforming, they'd be Christians. I added that part. Troy Gosnell, he ain't like Ms. Bosnell. Bosnells and Gosnells, apparently they probably been feuding for years. But Mr. Gosnell, he says, you know, when somebody dies, they bury him at that time. They don't know whether they were shot or diseased or anything else. All they do is wrap them in a sheet from the grave and bury them, because apparently they keep the sheets at the grave. Ellie, run over to the grave and get a sheet. Old Audie's gone. Lord God. Then there's Patricia Munro, who's concerned that they may get Muslimified if it rains real hard. The bodies are generally above the water. We get rain just like we did. It's going to be in our drinking system. We're going to be drinking the Islam dead. God, this must be, I think this is the best stupid Christian story we've had in ages. Alia Salem, who's with the Council on American Islamic Relations of Dallas, said, "They are fearful of what they don't understand, and hopefully it's an opportunity for us to come together and learn a little bit more about each other, and hopefully dispel some of those misconceptions." That's what they say in public. They go back behind their Council of American Islamic Relations doors, and they go, "Great heavenly days, have you ever seen a dumber bunch of knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing freaks?" No, they don't. They're probably better than that. Here's the fun part. It's not even up for a vote on whether or not it will be approved by the city council or not. It wasn't even on the agenda. But because we are, after all, talking about good, God-upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing Southern Christians, they've got a secret weapon. They got them a secret weapon. If the city council approves it, well, they know how they're going to stop it. Because they'll just have them a good old-fashioned pig roast. Go and grab one from out in the sty and bring it in, shoot it in the head. Then they're going to drain out all the pig's blood and cut the pig head off. And they're going to pour the pig blood all over the ground. Because, you know, pig blood is to Muslims what garlic is to vampires. And they might just throw in some garlic, too, because they'll have some left over from the barbecue sauce making. And that'll keep away any Muslim vampires. America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Especially Farmersville, Texas, America. You ever wonder if this news sneaks over into the news service of, say, Saudi Arabia or Iran or Jordan or Iraq, and they look at it and go, "We knew they were heathens, but really?" But we're talking about a magic sky, invisible sky friend. Don't you reckon, being as they're all crafty Muslims, don't you reckon they've got some crafty Muslim way of getting their invisible sky god friend to magically cleanse the earth of all that pig blood? And you reckon maybe they could pay, some atheist in Dallas to come and pick up the pig head so that they wouldn't have to touch it or nothing? Oh, foiled again, crafty Muslims. honestly, doesn't this make you just a wee teensy tiny bit ashamed of your fellow countrymen? I mean, no one is saying that this is all of America. No one is saying that this is all of Christianity. But it's a big old plurality hunk of it. Mm-hmm. Irish Dave with an observation. Oh, my fucking Allah. Isn't this really a question of zoning and therefore an assault on liberty and shit? Well, the Zoning Commission hasn't ruled on it yet. Although one would be hard-pressed to try to figure out why it wouldn't be okay. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And of course, let's write back because I printed say hold for prayer meeting Wednesday on this one. I have to run a little bit north for this. Dent County, Missouri. And again with the gay marriage. Dent County, Missouri has gone into mourning. Well, that's appropriate, you might say. The whole nation was mourning when Dylann Roof went in and murdered those nine innocents in the Emmanuel AME Church. Wrong! 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 Wrong answer. Nope. They're in mourning in Dent County, Missouri, because the Homer Sectionals is a getting married. It was Monday when presiding County Commissioner Darrell Skiles brought up the matter. He said he wanted a full year of mourning. That woman. They voted and agreed. It's a small county commission. At first, they was going to mourn the whole year. But now, they're just going to lower the flag to half staff on the 26th of every month. To manifest their mourning and their grief over how their constitutional rights has been trampled on and how we got to take our country back. Yeah. Presiding Commissioner Darrell Skiles filed a letter into the public record in official protest of, and this is a quote, the U.S. High Court stamp of approval of what God speaks of as an abomination. Unquote. So starting on July the 26th, 2015, and going all the way to June the 26th, 2016, they will lower the flag to half staff. So that all the citizens of Dent County, Missouri, including, presumably, the homosexual ones, even the married homosexual ones, will have to grieve that the Supreme Court of the United States acknowledged that 14th Amendment rights actually attach to the abominable homosexuals. County Commissioner Gary Larson said, and not that Gary Larson neither,
It ain't what our Bible tells us. It's again God's plan. It's just one step backwards.
Boy, I tell you what, I'd hate to get between that RF radiation coming down from their invisible friend and you know the fillings in their teeth. Probably cook a microwavable chicken pot pie. Whew. Ain't God good? Or silly, as the case may be. We've reached the halfway point in the program this evening, and thanks going out to Texas Tea for jumping in on the fundraising this evening. We are now only $240 away, and Steve's challenge has been fully met. It is sincerely appreciated. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully, 24 folks at $10, 10 people at 24, whatever. Maybe we'll get there. Would you like to get in on the conversation? Most everything and anything is open to discussion, not just the stuff that I've brought up. The numbers, 304-574-8178, or the stress line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. See how easy? We'll probably run away from some of the more religious stuff because there's other things out there. But yeah, we can probably fill up the next half hour at the very least. You know, we had brief transmission troubles last night because of power outages and got to watch a tornado form and zip by off in the distance night before last. Well, now I know why. You remember Operation Rescue? I know Beth in Dallas does. Over on that Crosstalk radio program, Troy Newman of Operation Rescue, who I'm sure hates the homosexual marriage, but Troy's keeping his eyes on the prize, you know, the control of women's reproductive insides. And he explained on Crosstalk, clever, huh? Where all this weather stuff is coming from. You keep the hockey puck at hand, I trust. Well, if you need it, just, you know, you'll be fine.
Consequences for America, Troy, when we see the Adolf Hitler, the King Herod, who, you know...
Adolf Hitler, the King Herod, that qualifies. Who had 7:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time? 7:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the evening's Hitler sweepstakes. Adolf Hitler, the King Herod. That's a new one on me. But anyway, let's...
Troy, when we see the Adolf Hitler, the King Herod, who, you know, made it their practice to kill the innocent, we're just as guilty.
Although there is no historical indication that any of that ever happened, the King Herod part. Hitler, yes. And no, if you had 7:36, me mentioning it the second time does not count. It's 7:35 or nothing.
In America.
You know, I have two thoughts on that. It's easy to, and I understand this, and I'm there completely, you know, to almost want to call down God's judgment. You know, it's almost like Psalm 2, you know, how long will the nations rage?
Don't you wonder how much more productive these fools' lives would be if they'd commit themselves to maybe memorizing Boyle's gas laws or the periodic table of the elements or, oh, hell, the sonnets of Shakespeare. But no, he's got Psalm 2 right to hand when he needs to hate on somebody. But what the hell was that before? What?
It's easy to, and I understand this, and I'm there completely, you know, to almost want to call down God's judgment.
Because he can do that. Troy Newman. It's easy to want to, but I guess mercy is staying his hand.
You know, it's almost like Psalm 2, you know.
Almost, but not exactly. We don't quite have a one-to-one correlation here.
How long will the nations rage, right? You know, how long, O Lord, will you wait and look aside? But we can't view God's hesitancy or grace or mercy as a sense of weakness.
No, it's not a sense of weakness. Their God will get theirs. I mean, because sooner or later they're going to figure out that their God's bound to hear their prayers and hear how butthurt they are. I mean, because they're itching. Remember, we've dealt with the imprecatory prayer business in years past. They're itching to call down God's judgment. I mean, they'd like very much to kill everyone that, you know, disagrees with them, you know, because they're butt hurt. I'm loving that word tonight. I've liked it for a long time, just never had much opportunity to use it. But don't mistake that for weakness, the fact that God hasn't sent down your fire and your brimstone to roast all the Homer sectionals and the people who speak to them on the streets when they pass, even though they know they're homosexuals. Don't mistake that for God being weak or imaginary or nothing. Oh, hell no.
And the second thing would be that, you know, we look here, you know, it's easy to say, or to look for some sort of cataclysmic judgment like the flood. But oftentimes God doesn't deal with us in that situation. If you look at the book of Judges, the judgment from God comes in a remedial fashion. In other words, one step at a time, one small step, until the people groan so heavily and they return back to God, and then they're slowly restored.
Slowly. I mean, it's not like God's just going to forgive and make everything all better like he done with Job there. I mean, wiped out Job's entire family, killed his sons, killed his daughters, killed the beasts of the field, and then after it was all over with, God just gave Job new sons, new daughters, and new beasts of the field, and that was supposed to make it all okay. And Job was supposed to forget the love and the time that he and the cherishing that he had invested in all those other young'uns that God let Satan go just, you know, bump off. But no, when no, not under these situations. No. It's going to be gradual, because God kind of gets off on the groaning and the moaning that we were talking about a minute ago. Because, you know, he's their God, and they get off on moaning and groaning, and so that necessarily means that their God does too, right?
The judgment from God comes in a remedial fashion. In other words,
you know, remedial, because remedial. I mean, when I was a little kid going to school and you couldn't learn to read so good, they sent you to remedial reading. Does that mean God's not real good at it, or that somehow we are found intellectually wanting? Did he just call everybody who doesn't agree with him stupid? I think he did. This guy's got me. I've muted the mic a couple of times and done some groaning of my own.
the judgment from God comes in a remedial fashion. In other words,
how would this know? I mean, when has he ever seen judgment from God happen? I mean, did he say a dirty word and then he stubbed his toe or, I mean, what? Do these workers ever have to actually give any evidence for the insane crap that they babble?
The judgment from God comes in a remedial fashion. In other words, one step at a time, one small step, until the people groan so heavily.
Is there heavy breathing too?
The judgment from God comes in a remedial fashion. In other words, one step at a time, one small step, until the people groan so heavily and then turn back to God, and then they're slowly restored.
Abortion bad. Homos bad.
The judgment from God.
Skip a bit, brother.
And so, you know, I don't know. I'm not, as the Bible says, I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet.
You're damn sure not a scientist either, but I guess that doesn't count on crosstalk now, does it? I mean, he's just doing all this stuff, so basically prophesying about how God's going to make people groan, but he's not a prophet, so don't run to the bank and don't go out and buy gold now based on his expectation that somebody's going to be doing some groaning. Me. Running.
The judgment from God comes, but if you look at what's going on in America today, Billy Graham said once, you know, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
No, Billy Graham didn't say that. Pastor John Hagee said that, and Billy Graham didn't say it one day. John Hagee said it last week. Honest to God, the truth ain't in him.
The judgment, and so I get that. But if you look at what's going on, we've had some terrible weather patterns lately. Our economic clout has been taken away.
Oh! Wait, that was a groan, wasn't it? There it is. Eche dumbass. What kind of weather patterns?
We've had some terrible weather patterns.
Terrible weather patterns. Terrible. Floods. But Troy. And that certainly is a... I'm not going to say it. Troy, we have had some terrible weather patterns, and your God sent them smack dab into the middle of places where you can't where you can't swing a dead skunk without hitting a Christian, a God standing up here God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered homosexual marriage America taking back Christian. Why'd he do that, Troy? Stumped again. I mean, if their God was all of that, wouldn't you kind of expect him to park a tornado right on Fire Island? Hurricane? Katrina. There was God sending a hurricane moving real slow up the Gulf, gathering strength, gathering up the fury of the Lord. And he inundated the lower ninth ward where there was all kinds of Bible-believing Christians. And up there on the high ground in the Vieux Carré, where there was all kinds of drag queens and homosexuals, it's all good. Sent a hurricane to wipe out Padre Island, Texas. And the only phone he left working on the entire island was in a gay bar. He is one mysterious god. That or one of your bigger screw-up deities of all time.
Missed it by that much.
But remember, he's not a prophet or the son of a prophet. He's a son of it, but not a prophet. Oh, we've had some terrible weather patterns.
Lately, our economic clout has been taken away. The stock market is artificially inflated. There's a lot of people that are predicting collapse there. The dollar is a fiat currency, is on shaky ground, or moral decays, or...
Wait. Did he just go all Ron Paul on us? Our fiat currency is not backed up by the gold standard the way that Jesus... You know, when Jesus said, hand me a coin, and said, whose face is on it? And they said, Caesar. And he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. That wasn't no fiat currency our Lord was a-handling that day. And when he overturned the tables of the money changers, do you think that was a fiat currency? No, that was a currency that was based on sheep and lambs and doves. It was based on material goods, and that's the only way you can have a real economy, because I'm Ron Paul. Read my memo. We could be having a collapse coming that's going to change the way you live and fly in airplanes and eat dinner and get off my lawn. Yeah, stock market's artificially inflated. How do you do that? Artificially inflate a stock market. I mean, is there an artificial inflator? And if that's the case, what's the real inflator look like? Well, it's made of gold. Here, let's finish up with Troy, and then we'll go to the phones. Stress Lines got somebody on it. If you want to jump in, 304-574-8178 is the open line. Yeah. Fiat currency. God doesn't approve of fiat. It's a homosexual currency.
Our morals have decayed so far. You know, the attacks on Christians and people of faith. You know, it's easier to be a homosexual in this country than it is to be a Christian.
We might have to sort that one out. Because, again, as a longtime knower of words, I'm whipped. It is easier to be a homosexual in this country than it is to be a Christian. To be a Christian, all you have to do, because Lord knows I've seen enough of the little tracks there sitting on the urinal in the men's room. I usually, as a public service, I usually get several thicknesses of toilet paper and pick the damn thing up and put it in the trash. Just pray this prayer with me right here at the urinal, Bob. Lord, I know I am a sinner. But I accept your son, Jesus Christ, as my personal Lord and Savior here at the urinal. Not kidding. You've seen them. Chick publications. Because they can't leave them at the toilet where you could do some meaningful reading, because it's not like it's got a tank on it in a rest area. It's always just one of those little steel pipes with the handle on it, and now they're laser guided so that you stand up and it probably puts the mark of the beast down there right on your butt where you can't see it in the mirror. But the devil can see it, the Antichrist can see it, and you know he can. Oh my God, don't. We are 1 hour and 10 minutes away from me, a swirly straw, and a bottle of tequila. Whoop! But I mean, so, oh yeah, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my life. Boom, you're a Christian. Now, I'm not going to suppose to speak for anybody, but would any member of the Horn Family Commune congregation who happens to be gay like to explain to me if being gay is any more complicated than that? Or insofar as it's not, you know, it's easier to be a homosexual in this country than it is to be a Christian. Well, one is actually one is born homosexual, whereas one is not born Christian. So maybe he's right in that sense, but I don't think that's what he means. No, you can go and get your homosexual wedding cake, and the poor Christians have to bring pizza to your wedding reception.
You're a protected class there, where we're a minority.
Since when? Christians are a minority in this country now? Ah, missed math class too, did he? I mean, don't something on the order of 60-70% of this country identify as Christian? How's that a minority? Or do the Catholics not count? And the apostolic holinesses, they don't count either, and the Lutherans, and well, Lord knows those Unitarians, I mean, really. Tequila gonna taste real good.
You know, I just think that at some point, this country's gonna have to hit the reset button.
Yeah. And what happens when we hit the reset button after the annoying weather patterns? What happens when America hits the reset button? Are we gonna round up all the? Is the reset button? Are there ovens associated? You're gonna round up all the Homer sectionals and just kind of get rid of them, and then we'll be reset. We'll all be no. Because, see, as soon as they get rid of one group that they hate, they start on another. Jenny, and thank you very kindly, Jenny, for chipping in this evening. Crosstalk is my, I'm so proud, local Christian radio station, ARG, the thorn in my side for many a year. Oh my God, that comes out of Wisconsin. Dear Lord. And thank you very kindly to Jenny and to Dan and to Cameron. We are now 190. We're only $190 away from getting done with fundraising for the evening, and that is huge. Thank you very, very much. We might get this done tonight. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello. There you are.
No.
There you are.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why I was a bit faint there.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hey, I'm a little bit of a damn speaker world thing, so if it didn't hurt, it falls off, I apologize to guys. But your conversation sparked a desire to call.
It's been known to happen.
It's a crazy thing. I always got an interesting question. I thought maybe I'd bounce off you and see what you think.
All right, let's not.
You are great, wise, and all the people must be worshipped, yada, yada, yada. If God is so powerful and so amazing and so omnipotent, knows all, sees all, and wears really tasty clothes on top of that, you kind of brought it up a little bit on your thing, is how come he fucks up so much?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, let's put the reddest, most Bible-believing Christian-thumping people and make them move to a state in which, oh, that's right, we have tornadoes tear through all every year. Oops. Can't have him live in, like, Northern California, maybe. He's another nicer.
Well, and be grateful for that, because then God would have to send more forest fires.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, oh, yeah, let's say, well,
John, I've just come to the conclusion that that most of the time, if he's real, he's just punking his own followers, because I think he's a little bit of a sadist.
Yeah,
Yeah, you busted your ass to stop the homos from getting married. Here's a tornado. Oh, look, your entire town's gone. Well, it sucks to be you. Praise me.
Yeah, it's a sad thing. In fact, you know, it's you know, I travel the country, and it's the route to stores to make money off people. I stop at truck stops and what have you. And, you know, the one great advantage of it is, you get the, you know, because in some places the food's pretty close. You get a lot of the locals come by, they'll get some grub and get conversations and stuff. And, you know, these last couple of weeks I've just been, I'm putting quarters in my piggy bank to pay for all the fun I'm having. And, you know, the flag and everything. I mean, I remember talking to you here a week or so ago. I mean, they were.
Well, you know, I can't get out on the highway now, John, without thinking about all those truck drivers sitting there in that trucker church fondling their firearms.
Oh yeah.
So all those guys out on the highway are armed. You know, I think of them being armed to the teeth. And I mean, what would happen if they get pulled over? I mean, I know the NRA is still working on it. But even if you're licensed to carry in Texas, that don't mean you're licensed to carry in Utah.
Yeah, but you got to remember, our laws don't matter to them.
Well, until they get put in jail for it.
Well, you know, it's how it works, you know. I mean, although the rules, like you said, they are trying to make some amendments to it. But currently, if you drive a commercial truck, you're not supposed to have a weapon in it. You're prohibited. 50 states.
I mean, are there policies like, you know, with the, you know, with the big over the road companies, with some, you know, some Bubba's, you know, some transport company, do they have corporate policies against carrying a shooting gun with you?
Let me rephrase that. In the federal DOT regulations, truck drivers are prohibited from carrying firearms across 50 states. They're not supposed to have them.
Not even if they're just driving in the state where they've got a God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered concealed carry permit.
That's like I said. They're having court cases right now because some guys do carry them because in many cases it's legitimate. They've got a they had a guy that they actually passed a law here not so long ago, called Jason's Law or something like that, because he parked off at some. Goes down service station because he had to deliver the next morning or something like that, and he got hijacked with $6 in the pocket. And so, you know, of course, the rival gun carrier jumped on that and saying, well, he had a way of defending himself, so you can take that, you know, run that as far as you want to run. But you're right. With the exception of a few small companies that, you know, kind of the nod and wink kind of thing. The liability is so huge that, you know, these big companies, it's part of their policies. You are prohibited. You got truckers that actually got citations and stuff for having, you know, there's a lot of them carry like those tire thumpers and stuff, you know, to walk around with heavy flashlight or a big buy in the store that's like a little short billy club. Those technically are considered weapons. And there has been cases, and there has been guys in my company have actually gotten citations for having those things up in the driver's cab. So, I mean, but so many of these laws, like so many of the things, it's really up to the officers of the
law. So what can the, if there's a violation of that federal reg, what's the punishment, John?
No, it's, since I've never had to deal with it directly, I don't know what the punishment level is. And like I said, my green book is a couple of years old, so it may have made some changes. Awesome. But, You know, it's interrupted my day ever since I started, and I've been driving about 16 years. So, you know, it's, now you may well be correct that if you happen to be in the state where you have your concealed carry, and you probably would get away with it unless the officer was actually a DOT certified officer, blah, blah, blah. And again, like so many other things, there's a lot of discretion out there for everybody. Also, it's the thing that you not to, acknowledge. And so it's, I like saying, it's a case by case basis. It's hard.
Well, I thank you for the information, John. I didn't know that over-the-road drivers weren't allowed to gun up, makes it all the more interesting to know that they are. Let's say some member of the let's pick some state police in a state that's not absolutely gun crazy. The California Highway Patrol. Let's say they pull over a driver. With ordinary folks on the road now, if you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, they'll ask you, sir, right after the license and registration, sir, do you have any illegal drugs or firearms in the automobile? Do they ask that when they pull the driver over? The trucker?
Well, that's where we come into the discretion thing. There's enough drivers out here that have them, and cops know this, but they also recognize that there is a conversation I had with a California, and that is that it's dangerous out here, okay? You get, for instance, I have people specify when, but there are times when I'm pulling loads that are worth $1 million, and the chance of hijacking is there. Real. And it's recognized by a lot of law enforcement that some of the, a lot of the rules that were written in the DOT manual, stuff like that, are somewhat dated. And it's like most laws are put in certain time frames that may not necessarily be applicable nowadays. So it's a situation where, if you happen to pull over a driver, and I'm gonna use some pretty extreme example here just for illustration purposes. But you pull a guy over, and he's got the muddy dreadlocks, and he's got the pants hanging out with his back, and what have you, and the cop looks at it, he may ask a question because this guy's different. Now, if it's a guy with a John Deere cap and nice big rear belly and an shucks attitude, he probably won't ask because he really doesn't want to know. Because, pulling over truck drivers is actually safer for police to do than it is for a car. Because most of the truck drivers are pushing license and they're professionals. Police perceived to be professionals. And so you pull a cool driver, cops don't worry about walking up our truck and having the guy shoot him up with him. So you're already one step ahead of the game than you would be if you were driving a fancy car or something like that. You see these cops all the time now. They pull over a car, they step out of their car, the first thing they do is get their hand on the gun, and they're sidling up along the edge, and they're looking at their truck. It's kind of goes their way there because they're going, in their mind, they're going to deal with somebody so good. And that's kind of the short version of that. So.
Well, that actually makes a fair degree of sense. I wonder if maybe there's a little bit of difference if, say, said driver has a darker skin tone or perhaps a Spanish accent.
Oh yeah, it's all there. I mean, even though as much as we try to say it doesn't happen, but and I understand it to some degree, I guess, some limited degree, I understand it. But being a police officer can be a risky thing. You don't know who, car, you pull over for a tag light out. You know, this could well be the one guy who happens to be transporting, you know, 50 bags of cocaine in his truck.
Or maybe he's Walter Scott, and he winds up getting shot in the back in North Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, when you pull somebody over, you're rolling dice. But at least with the truck drivers, there's at least some degree of a perception that this, you know, this guy's driving a company truck, he's got a name on it and all that stuff. He at least has some idea who you're dealing with before you even walk up to the vehicle. So, you know, that's, I guess, their plus factor there. But, you know, it's still, you know, the fact that you're not allowed to do it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, I've heard this said more times than one. You know, I would rather get the ticket for a concealed weapon than be shot and killed, somebody trying to hijack my truck. And so, you know, that's kind of where a lot of that falls into, you know. It makes a lot of sense, because, again, some of the loads I carry are, you know, although it's a small risk, but it's still there. You get what they call high-risk loads. You know, if somebody's decided that particular load's going to be hijacked, they're going to know where you are, track you down, and I've actually had a gun pulled on me for a load, like about 10 years ago.
Well, I appreciate the input, John. You're a little breaking up there.
Right.
Hopefully you'll be in a little better place next time we talk.
All right, no problem. Catch you later.
All right, see you, John. Bye now. Our buddy John out on the road somewhere in the American West. 8 minutes past the hour. If you want to jump in, both lines are open. 304-663-HORN. That's the stress line, and 304-574-8178. Is the other, and then of course there's always Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaid HORN. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Just checking the email box. Marty noting, of course, talking about Troy Newman there. Of course, I would tell those Christians that perhaps instead of hating on the gay, they should maybe feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the helpless. You know, those things their book says they're supposed to be doing. But they are helping the homosexuals, Marty. They're saving them from the burning fires of hell, which is where they's all are going if they don't quit homosexualizing. Eesh. Yeah. Okay, one more. This one out of Texas, too. It ain't always the Christians. New. So a little bill that actually kind of made some sense sort of sailed right through the Texas legislature. It was a bill designed to solve a very real problem. It doesn't crop up a lot, but it does crop up, and it is a problem. When people who are not necessarily in their right faculties will show up in a healthcare facility, and then having decided against their previous somewhat rational decision to get help, will then bug out. And it did create a problem for for healthcare providers, for the judicial system, and in most instances for the people who were badly in need of help and bugged. Because it put doctors in a position of, and other healthcare professionals, of engaging in tortious conduct, i.e., essentially civil kidnap or civil false imprisonment, or letting someone who's a danger to himself or herself or others walk. So the Texas legislature set out to correct it, and they passed a bill. It did. It sailed through both houses. The testimony on the bill was from health care providers, doctors, mental health professionals, social workers, law enforcement, and they all said, "Yeah, this makes sense. This'll help." And it landed on Texas Governor Greg Abbott's desk, and then bang, along come the Scientologists. Oh, really? The Scientologists. And they pulled together a consortium of paranoids and libertarians and the usual suspects. And the next thing you know, Greg Abbott vetoed the damn thing. The SB 359 veto coalition went to work as soon as the bill was passed. And there was, lo and behold, a member of the group, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. They'd been hooting like a barn owl ever since the bill was introduced. And lo and behold, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights turns out to be a front group for the Scientologists. That it's an anti-psychiatry group. It's been around since 1969. They say it's a mental health watchdog dedicated to taking a stance against, and this is a quote, "the biological drug model of disease that is continually promoted by the psychiatric pharmaceutical industry as a way to sell drugs." When, of course, we all know that mental illness is caused by having your thetans out of whack. Or is that black bile? Or ill humors? Or is it demons? Lee Spiller is the official Texas Citizens Commission on Human Rights lobbyist. Lee Spiller said, "It was really just a matter of making calls to the different groups and going, 'Hey, what do y'all think?' And them are them calling us, and we just decided not to let it go." Lee Spiller went on and said, "You know, everybody who joined this was part. They had some sort of connection to right and liberty issues." Told you. You want to bet somewhere in the last month or so or two or three, Alex Jones has had a hissy about this? Remember, we're all going to be asexual humanoids soon. And women of the world, you're probably glad about that, if for no other reason than Alex Jones. Let's see, who else opposed the bill? The Texas Homeschool Coalition, the League of United Latin American Citizens, Parents Requesting Open Vaccine Education, and Texans for Accountable Government. Yeah, you ever notice that all these accountable government organizations are never liberals, even though we like government accountability too? Accountable government organizations are never progressives. They're always somebody out there.
"Well, what we need is to go return to the gold standard, crikey."
And out of this, because, you know, this is the real world end of the so-called sausage making that is the legal process. Somebody's going to die. Or several somebodies. Simply because the Scientologists think there's no such thing as mental illness. Or that if there is such a thing as mental illness, that it's got something to do with something that has never been proven to exist being out of whack in one's body. See, it's never a good thing when science and religion collide. Now, it's not a foregone conclusion that every time they meet, they collide. The Vatican's had an observatory for 400 years. And among other things, by looking up into space, Vatican scientists have come around to the notion a good while back that evolution is real. The Big Bang is probably how the universe happened. And that the literal interpretation of the seven-day creation is actually, and I think they've used this word, a heresy. But when they collide, you get problems. A whole bunch of climate change denial comes right out of the fundamentalist community. And there's plenty of money to come from the Koch brothers to support those fundamentalist communities.
Oh, Lord God Almighty would never... I mean, if he's going to destroy the planet again, I mean, he's only said one thing. He won't flood it. That's what the rainbow means. It means he'll never destroy humanity by flooding us again.
You know, you'd think that people might take one look at that, these dead from the neck up fundies, and go, wait a minute. That means he might roast us. He's still pretty pissed off.
Yeah, but that's going to be because Jesus is coming back, and that's only going to be after all the Christians get to kill the Jews for not admitting that Jesus is Lord.
You realize, I mean, and that's a reality. Do you realize how sickening that is, even coming out of my own mouth? A plurality of the dominant religious faith in this country is predicated on someday getting to commit a genocide. And yet, oddly enough, Never Forget doesn't apply to them. Never Forget is predicated on never letting it happen again. And yet, lo and behold, AIPAC is dear friends with CUIFI, you know, Citizens United for Israel, run by John Hagee. When John Hagee's sitting there,
I sure hope I get to live long enough that I can wheel over in my chair and gig a couple of them myself. Starve!
So in Texas, because freedom... Some mentally ill person is going to get killed or kill someone else because thetans. Yeah? Let's take a little break. We are $190 away from staying out of the hole. 19 at 10, 10 at 19. We got 40 minutes to do that in. I'll bet we can. I hope we can. And that way we'll just have an ordinary fundraising night tomorrow, which wouldn't that be lovely? Thanks to Steve and to Brother Deacon Asa. Thanks to Dan and thanks to Jenny. Thanks to Cameron. Thanks to Texas T. And thanks to Alex. Made a lot of progress this evening. This is listener supported Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
with the steward is high over long out of sound. She's also spending some time on the island. Too much city madness gives her the blues. They make her date to go dancing and dining. It seems neither has got much to lose. The weather is here. I wish you were beautiful. My thoughts aren't too clear. But don't run away, my girlfriend's a bore. My job is too dutiful, hell, nobody's perfect. Who do you like to play? I feel together today. Well, now that's just the start of a well-deserved overdue bend. Meanwhile, back in the city, certain people are starting to his lawyers are calling his parents. His girlfriend doesn't know what to think. His partners are studying their options. He's just singing harder and drinks. The weather is here. I wish you were beautiful. The skies are too clear. Life's so easy today. The beer is too cold. The daiquiri's too fruitful. No place like home when you're this far away. Today, the beer is too cold, the daiquiri's too fruitful, no place like home when you're this far away.
I guess the weather isn't here for Troy Newman, but, yeah, what the hell, it seemed to work at the time. As we move into the last remaining portions of the evening, lines are open, 35 minutes to go. 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676, or 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, and email bobkincaid@gmail.com, at Bob Kincaid on Twitter, Bob Kincaid on Facebook. A pattern emerges. Let's see here. Got a little note from our buddy Isaac. A little something out of Los Angeles, or from the LA Times, I should say. Yeah. Why am I not surprised? A youth pastor, right? A youth pastor in San Bernardino, California, has been arrested. You'll never guess why. Oh, parking ticket? No. DUI? No. 24-year-old Yan Hao Ren, who calls himself Eric, was found in the back seat of a car parked on California 330 with a girl from Roland Heights. Now, there's nothing illegal about being being a youth pastor with a girl from Roland Heights, unless the girl from Roland Heights is 13 years old. Good, upstanding, God-fearing Christian youth pastor that he is, 24-year-old Eric Jan Halren, said, and the girl, too, they said they'd begun a sexual relationship this past May, and they've been meeting in Orange County, L.A. County, and San Bernardino County since then. He is in prison. He is imprisoned. He's being held in lieu of $500,000 bail. Mm-hmm. With multiple sex with a child under 14 and sodomy with a child under 14. Their book is just full of admonitions about how not to have sex and when not to have sex, and who than say 80. I don't know. They're Christians. That probably wouldn't slow down the 80-year-olds either.
Hey, come here, honey.
This shouldn't be so complicated. No, honest, Ossifer, she told me she was 14. Sickening. Just sickening. But not at all surprising. In point of fact, it's kind of to be expected, isn't it? So even though the largish debate over the Baphomet statue in Oklahoma has been curtailed by virtue of the fact that the Oklahoma Supreme Court told the state of Oklahoma to get their great big Ten Commandments rock off of state capitol grounds. The non-troversy continues. I guess anything for a rating, anything to suck in a viewer, especially if you're a Fox affiliate. In this case, the Detroit My Fox station because there's a chapter of the Satanic Temple in Detroit. Woo! Booga, booga, booga! And they booked her with Pastor David Bullock of the Greater St. Matthew Baptist Church. They call their panel Let It Rip. The non-troversy has spread to Michigan because the Satanic Temple folks wanted to unveil a statue of their deity. Of course, most of your Satanists are actually atheists, and this is a way of sticking a finger in the theist's eyes. They had planned to unveil an 8-foot-tall bronze statue on July the 25th, but the unveiling has now been made a private affair because the followers of the Prince of Peace have issued threats against them. Naturally. And these aren't just, you know, in everyday Christians. These are real, sharp, knower-of-word Christians. It's an 8.5-foot-tall, 1.5-ton bronze statue of the Lord of Darkness. Baphomet, goat-headed. It was going to be on the property of a local restaurant. But after the owner rented space to him, he backed out because they got threats. Lucian Greaves told the Associated Press, people are threatening to burn the venue down. We've gotten these kind of messages, you know, from Christians. Let's see. Let's burn the statue down. Yeah. It's bronze! Smart, Christians. Smart. Then there's, better be safe, the building might fall down, LOL. Then this Christian said, this is complete bullshit. I can't wait till we take this bitch down and fuck it up. Fuck Satan! Now, very Christian of you. Yeah, you're offended by the Satanist, Christian? Oh, well, forgive them. I mean, that's what your book tells you to do, isn't it? Forgive, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bert Deering of Bert's Marketplace rented the space. He said, Detroit is a very religious area. When I rented the place, I just thought it was a church. I didn't know about the unveiling of a statue. We weren't aware they were into devil worshiping. Let's see, another threat. A wise woman, told me to stay away from Eastern Market that night, and if you're going, well, you are, you just might leave with a parting gift you didn't even ask for or never wanted. Then this. I bet it would blow up real good. Bronze. This is the statue that they were going to put on the Oklahoma State Capitol. So now they got to put it somewhere else. But at present, they're waiting to see how things shake out in Arkansas because they're considering moving the statue to the State House in Little Rock. Because those idiots can't live without a Ten Commandments monument. Yeah.
We're going to blow it up real good.
So naturally they had to have a thing about it on the local Fox affiliate. Let's check in. Let's check in with Jex Blackmore of the Satanic Temple and Pastor David Bullock of the Greater St. Matthew Baptist Church. Hockey puck optional. Right. Come on. You can do it. Here we go. Oh, wait, I think I may have screwed it up. We'll get there. Working. Oh, Steve, I'm sorry I missed your call. Try again. All right, here we go. Right after the ad. Because, you know, Fox. You have to put up with this kind of thing because, you know, I'm a production team of one. I promise this is going to be fun. Guess who gets all upset? Hint, it ain't the Satanist.
They present shocking presentations to make fun of religion, and their ultimate attempt is not to protect religion, but to destroy religion.
This will impact our families, our homes, and our marriages. We will not allow it in the city of Detroit.
The preachers of Detroit standing hand in hand this week against Satan. Well, they do that every week, but this time, they're upset over a statue of the devil planned to be unveiled in Motown later this month. Meet the panel with us tonight. Jex Blackmore of the Satanic Temple of Detroit, the Reverend David Bullock, Greater St. Matthew Baptist Church, and of course our legal analyst, Charlie Langton, back with us for this session. I want to first show you what this is all about. The very controversial statue set to be unveiled on July the 25th at Burt's Warehouse. After a storm of controversy, Burt's backed out of the deal. Jex, you say that you have another location. Where is the location?
Right now we're looking at Arkansas. Their state capitol has recently approved the erection of a Ten Commandments monument there. And so the purpose of the monument, our monument, is to stand in contrast and conversation with established religious icons such as the Ten Commandments.
Okay, real quick, a lot of things come to my mind right there. Does that mean you're done with Detroit? It's not going to be unveiled in the city?
Oh, no, it's going to be unveiled here. It's a celebration of, a group effort that really went into the production of it. And then it's going to go on to...
But why choose Detroit?
Well, we have the organization, the Satanic Temple, has ties to Detroit. We have a strong membership here, and so we really feel at home and comfortable and want to celebrate it with members of our organization.
And what's wrong with them expressing what they believe?
Well, you know what? Nothing's wrong with them expressing what they believe. In America, we have the right of expression.
But?
And so, in turn, there's nothing wrong with us expressing what we believe. And so we have the right to protest the unveiling, you know.
And they have the right to threaten to blow it up real good.
No, I think, though, Maury, really what this is about is we're trying to figure out what this really is all about. The unveiling of...
Then why are you protesting if you don't even know what it is? Jesus, Christians.
Of the statue in Detroit, picking Detroit because there's a strong membership. I don't know how strong that membership is.
And what business is it of yours? Just asking.
I've seen numbers.
I mean, 2018. You know, one way that you could
Let me finish. The statue is supposed to create a dialogue. Well, statues don't talk. I mean, if you wanted to have a dialogue with other faiths, I mean, why not send?
Yeah, but asses do. Check your book.
An email in advance or knock on the door.
It's certainly creating quite a dialogue over this controversy.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
It's not creating a dialogue at all. It actually is polarizing.
Man, professional broadcasting.
Polarizing a large number of folks in the city of Detroit.
I'm sorry, but you are the only person here polarizing.
There is no dialogue being had because of this statue.
I've attempted to reach out to you and your congregation.
You sent an email yesterday.
I'm sorry that you maybe didn't get any other attempt. It's also difficult to get a hold of you. In fact,
difficult to get a hold of me.
I'm sorry, but I think
Google works.
I got a hold of you yesterday after you've already gone out and started a protest against an organization that you clearly know nothing about.
Oh,
you have questions. Did you think that you might want to reach out and ask us the questions that you have
about the organization
right now?
Tell us about the organization.
I would really like you to tell us.
Tell us about the organization.
You've already made decisions about who we are. You've said that you've defined us for us. You've effectively taken our voice away from us and said that we are bringing evil to Detroit and so on and so forth. Clearly,
you're putting words in my mouth now.
Okay. Why don't you explain?
Remember, this is over a statue. Yeah. Don't you love the for-profit media?
Right here. You are
not the devil.
Who
they say they don't believe in, but they do believe in.
Man, I tell you, you want to talk about serving the public interest on the public airwaves? They got it down to a science, don't they? Skip a bit, brother. Let's see if it gets any better.
And why do people believe that this is not true?
I mean, people have deeply rooted misconceptions perpetuated by people in power or traditional systems that make...
Doesn't she just make sense every time she talks? And meanwhile, the Christian's going...
It's very difficult for them to believe there is a progression or a different history other than the normative narrative. Again, there is a concept of Satan that exists beyond the Judeo-Christian Bible or the Judeo-Christian mythology that is rooted in humanity, is rooted in culture, it's rooted in all these various facets that construct informs our life, our works, our goals. We have a community that has rituals. We have aesthetic. We have all the defining...
Oh, she done screwed up. She mentioned the rituals. You mean when you eat the babies? Wear them sheep leggings on your legs and stuff?
Features of a religion minus supernaturalism. And I think the concept that religion has to include supernaturalism is offensive. And in fact, it's getting in the way of people like you and I who have similar goals in many ways from working together. I mean, if there's any concept of Satan or evil or the bad guy, it's not you and me. It's not people who are neighbors who have ultimately the same goals. It's the guys that are embedded in you know, some of them are in their government. Some of them are in the pulpit. Some of them are, you know,
Jax,
in our police force.
Let me just ask you about July the 25th. The date is still on.
Yes.
It's going to be unveiled someplace in Detroit. You won't say, right?
Right.
You're not going to tell us you're afraid? That.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to be killed by the Christians.
That there will be another.
Well, there's
outpouring
been
about
this. Any venue that attempts to host us or suggest it has an outpouring of harassment.
Okay,
it's not.
I just
harassment.
Want to ask you,
it's not
what
harassment.
Do you see happening there?
Well, no, it's not harassment. If a Christian does it, they're trying to save your eternal soul by threatening to blow it up real good.
What do you see this event being like? How long will it take? What's going to happen there?
It's just a celebration of the completion of our monuments. We have several bands slated to play. We have a band from Boston, punk band from Boston named Sadus. We have Wolf Eyes, which are noise legends from Detroit. We have a DJ from Skinny Puppy.
And how is anybody going to know where to go if you don't tell people where it's going to go?
Right?
No, they didn't say they're not telling. They're telling the DJ and the bands where to go. They're not telling you, Gospel Sharp, because you've got people following you who say, let's blow it up real good, or maybe a house will fall on you in the name of Jesus.
Is it a fundraiser?
Yes,
a fundraiser?
It's a fundraiser to help support our political action
funds. You have to dress
funds.
To impress the devil?
Right, well, we'd like people
David,
to have some fun with
I mean,
it. Yeah, it's a party,
to impress
of course.
Somebody that we don't believe in, that we don't believe exists, but we are.
You don't
have
to go.
To release
and there's tyranny,
you.
But we're going
to
have a party. But we're being
sorry.
Terrorized and harassed.
Well,
I mean,
you are actually harassing
us.
I don't
understand. I mean, either your group is this strong, powerful group that is expressing themselves, or you're being terrorized. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Actually, they're not mutually exclusive. Apparently, the good pastor never got through much in the way of logic class. That's why he's a preacher. You don't have to get through logic class to be one of them. You can just say, and then a miracle. 1 + 1 = 12.5 because Jesus.
The devil exists.
Okay.
The devil doesn't.
Guys, we could go on with this all night long. I have to bring it to an end right now.
Wait, okay, so notice that the Christian, even after being told that it's being brought to an end, keeps talking. Because Jesus' privilege.
Because we are running out of time.
Believes in white supremacy.
You always love to have the last word, and for some reason we always allow you to have it, my friend.
Mind.
After a few loud nights, speaking of this, thank you.
Did you catch that? Dylann Roof. Now the Christians are the ones, in this case, threatening to do harm to the minority believers or non-believers or whatever they are. But what people believe matters. Did Dylann Roof believe in white supremacy? He killed non-black folks in church just like this. But hurt! I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ. Gandhi. Jesus, save me from your followers. Bumper sticker. And on, and on, and on. Sheesh. Oh, and Tim from L.A. noting, breaking, sort of, happy birthday, Jade Helm, and contribute to the horn, folks. Thank you, Tim. Thank you very kindly. Steve, I missed your call. If you want to try to get back in, there's time, and you are more than welcome. I'd love to hear what you got to say. Everybody would. Little Gray in the chat room. Praise Jesus for the holy cleansing commercial break. And you know, we could do this all night. It goes on and on and on. Hey, here's a fun one. You know, everybody who's anybody with a presidential ambition has to go and, you know, eat hot dogs and slaughter pigs and stuff like that in Iowa. Because Iowa and North Carolina, or I mean, Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina get to determine who's going to be the presidential candidates for the rest of us. Still haven't sorted that out. Kevin Swanson, who is a weirdo right-wing hate radio host. He's also big into homeschooling. He's organizing a National Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines later this summer. And just so you'll know who he is, Kevin Swanson is one of those Christian Reconstructionists who wants people who are homosexual to be executed. He's one of these real, real lulus out there who thinks that you catch the gay by eating a Thin Mint Girl Scout cookie or going to the movie Frozen. So he's having his National Religious Liberties Conference. Guess who's going? Yeah.
Time right now for people to wake up. And if you don't, get ready to go to jail. I'm talking about millions of people in jail within the next 5 years or so, unless we take a stand right now. And I'm just talking about, I just need 20, 30 million Christians to show up at the polls in the primaries and get the ball rolling on this thing. So, you know, right now is our shot at putting this issue forward as the most important issue in the nation right now, politically speaking.
All right, one more time. What's that website, Ken?
It's freedom2015.org. Sign up right now, folks. Freedom2015.org. Let's get to Des Moines on November 6th and 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses.
All right, thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and
thank
keep
you.
It up.
Will do. Freedom2015.com is the website. And here's the thing. We've already put together an impressive array of speakers, but we want the candidates running for this office to understand what is at stake. And your numbers will help us to do that. Your numbers will show to them, hey, this is legit. You do not get away with bypassing this issue. You want to be there. We already have had some presidential candidates come in. I know Ben Carson was the first one to commit. I think Bobby Jindal's planning on being there. So you can help us get the word out about this. Freedom2015.com is the website. Freedom2015.com.
Can you imagine the uproar, the firestorm, if Hillary Clinton said that she was going to attend is there even an analog to this? There isn't. But Ben Carson will get a pass. Piyush Jindal will get a pass. And we're talking about in this Kevin Swanson creep, a guy who wanted a Rose Bowl, a Rose Parade float, where a gay person is stoned to death. He wanted country singer Kacey Musgraves lynched because he decided she was promoting homosexuality in a song. This guy says that gay people getting married is the same thing as the Sandy Hook massacre. I mean, the list is near endless. Let's see. Feminists are destroying society. Working women hate men and their children will destroy America. Gonorrhea is God's punishment for single women having sex. Helping women in Kenya own their own cows will obliterate the family. He thinks the movie Frozen is a demonic movie meant to indoctrinate my 5-year-old to be a lesbian. Beyonce is possessed by demons. The Beatles were spreading a demonic message. Dumbledore is a pedophile. Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, and Katy Perry sing demon songs. I think we covered that one here. Halloween is a celebration of the victims of Noah's flood. By God, I'd like to dig into that one sometime, but no. Six minutes from the tequila bottle and the straw. 6 minutes. But over on the other line, we have Larry out in Berkeley. Hey, Larry.
Hi there.
How are you?
I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm hoping you were able to get that meeting with Senator Feinstein.
I got a meeting in her office and had a very, very good conversation. Never could get through to Boxer.
That's really sad. I mean, what's a more accurate word?
That's okay. We got blown off by Boxer. We got blown off by Patty Murray in Washington. We got blown off by these are good progressives. We got blown off by Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin.
Well, what's going on?
And what they said was, you know, this is just a very busy time of year, and we don't have time for you.
Oh boy, oh my goodness, they. Okay, watch me take my hand and slap my thigh as hard as I can and face, get pissed off.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself. Just a quick face palm and be done.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm trying to deal with insurance to get my CPAP supplies, and they say that I own the equipment now. But they say in order for them to service me, I have to have an all new sleep study. And I have to get a new prescription from the doctor, and they have to go through it. And that's what I have to do if I want Medicare to pay for it. And then if I don't want to have Medicare pay for it, then I can go pay for the supplies myself. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if the ACAT gets passed, and I'm assuming that in some future, if not now, in some future period of years, something that it will get passed or something like it, or if it gets passed, how long will it take for the government to do the study and come up with the findings to be able to prove that the coal is harming the people in the state?
The study's going to take years. And that's why it's important that we get, you know, the sooner we get at it, the better off we are.
Because it's going to take, you know, if you have to go through all this bureaucracy to get this health study done when the health study needs to be done yesterday, or, you know.
Right, but it's about the only way to do it. Because the other alternative, Larry, is to simply sit and say, well, you know, they'll mine all the coal one of these days, and then they'll stop poisoning us, and then they'll go away, and we'll just deal with this mess on our own.
Yeah, well, in any case, it's 3 minutes before six. I know you've got to go, but I appreciate the fact that you took my call, and I haven't been on with you. I just wanted to know what happened in Washington, D.C., whether or not you had any success persuading.
Oh, no, we did. I mean, we had some very good meetings. It was just a little frustrating to be told, you know, sorry, we don't have time for you.
Yeah, well, just to, I guess I just got to keep on sticking with things and try to keep the stress. Well, I am stressed.
No,
out.
All you can, yeah, just send the occasional note saying, by the way, I'm still paying attention and you still need to do something about this.
Yeah, well, you got the email that
I did.
Dianne Feinstein's office sent me. So
yeah, and they were responsive, and they took the meeting like that.
Did you know about the bill that she offered? That she said that she offered.
Oh yeah, yeah, it went nowhere. But she did sign on as a co-sponsor, which means that, you know.
Okay, so she signed on as a co-sponsor to the AIC Act?
No. Oh. The AIC Act hasn't been introduced in the Senate yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that she will.
Me too. Thanks, Larry. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye now. Larry calling from Berkeley. Time to get out of here. We will close the evening at $190 to go in fundraising. That means tomorrow's fundraising goal will be $390. It would be nice if it was just $200 by the time airtime rolled around. We'll just cross our fingers and hope for the best. Thank you to all of you who took it down from 400 to 190. That is a very big deal indeed. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and yes, ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.